Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
President Donald Trump addressed the nation with regards to the military strategy in Afghanistan. As a commander-in-chief, he spoke very specific with regards to how the strategy is to actually win the war against terror. We're going to be talking about that and military readiness on Faith and Freedom. Our special guest is Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin with the Family Research Council. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Council, and also in the studio here is Holly Mead, the director of communications for Liberty Council. Welcome to Faith and Freedom, General Boykin.
Hey, thank you very much, Matt. It's a privilege to be on with you this morning.
Well, I want to get your take as a military general, someone who's been on the ground, seen the issues overseas, and is very much aware of what's going on in the Middle East and with terrorism, about President Donald Trump's strategy statement where he addressed the nation with regards to Afghanistan, and then move from that into the concept of military readiness.
Yeah, listen, I think it was one of the better speeches, if not the best, that he's made as president. And it is obvious from what he said that he is listening to his military advisors and he is taking their advice. And I think that when he not only started his speech by complimenting in a very sincere way the young men and women that served this country, but he told them what they needed to hear, and that is that we're out to win this thing. We're not there just to show up and play, but we're there to win it. And I don't know what winning is going to look like, but I think he's very sincere about that. He also told them we're going to remove the restrictions on you, and we're going to let you fight this war to win it. And I think that there were a number of key things that he said to the men and women in uniform that are exactly what they wanted to hear, not the least of which was, we're not there to nation build, we're there to win, we're there to kill the terrorists.
And as a former military commander that's been in active combat, obviously, it seems like it would be welcome news to you and the other military leaders and generals and so forth that they have the discretion to be able to make these calls real time on the ground as opposed to being micromanaged from a bureaucracy in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, and if you go all the way back to Vietnam, I think what you find is that that was where we began this this pattern of the politicians going into the operational level of war where they should have stayed at the tactical level. And I think that Trump has clearly signaled that that's not his intention. He has a team of professionals commanding at all levels, and he is going to hold them accountable but trust them to do the right thing.
You know, I read an article after the speech was given in the Washington Post, and amazingly, it was a fair and balanced article, very specific about his speech. I think that that should be something that would be the big news of the day, getting our military in a position to be able to actually win, stop terror, because it's in the nation's best interest to stop the terrorism and the seeds and the safe havens of terrorism in the Middle East, including Pakistan and other places. Because if we don't stop it there, as we've seen, it comes here on the shores of the United States of America. It affects our allies in Europe and across the globe.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, America's been there 16 years now. But the reality is, if we hadn't taken our eye off the ball, we probably could have been out of there several years ago. I hate to say this, but when we went into Afghanistan, we turned things over to the NATO forces, And that's when things began to go south, and now we're trying to come back in and reestablish ourselves and get on a winning footing. And I think that's what Mr. Trump's doing. But he also made it very clear he's not going to establish timelines. He's going to focus on the conditions on the ground, which will drive our steps in terms of coming out and drawing down and that type of thing. The only thing that I'm concerned about, Matt, is the additional American troops that it appears are going to be put in there. I'm less concerned about it than I was before I heard the speech, because before I heard the speech, I thought this is just 4,000 or 5,000 more targets in there. But I think with what he laid out in terms of a very broad outline of a strategy to win, I think my comfort level has increased in terms of putting more Americans in there. But I really don't want to see that grow beyond what he has indicated that he's going to send over there.
You know, in so many ways, he inherited a mess from previous presidents, even before Barack Obama, with regards to not drawing a red line and keeping it, if you will, respecting North Korea, respecting the surge that took place, or the resurgence of terrorism in the Middle East and so forth. And so now he's drawing that red line and going back to where we should have been so many years ago, including the issue of the LGBT. He reversed that policy of President Obama, where he wanted to use, Obama did, the military to push the social agenda. And President Trump, as a priority, has clearly indicated that the top priority for the military is military readiness. As someone who's been in the military and who works in this area and sees what's happening with the implementation before of the LGBT agenda, what do you see happening and what do you see the future?
Well, first of all, I think that was the boldest decision he's made thus far. And the reason is because he took on what I think we could, certainly we at the Family Research Council would say is probably the most vicious entity in our society outside of maybe MS-13, but
right.
And I don't mean vicious just in a physical kind of way. I mean just vicious in terms of rhetoric. He took on the LGBT community. Now, the reason that that was so critically important was because it sent a signal to every man and woman in the military that your mission is exactly what Douglas MacArthur said in 1963. It's to win wars. Nothing else. You have no other mission. It's not to be a social experiment or a test bed for social policies. It is to win wars. And no decision should be taken by the President or the Congress that doesn't first ask that question, how does this enhance our ability to win wars? And I think Donald Trump looked at this from a practical perspective. And he said, how does this contribute to winning wars? It's just a common sense thing.
You know, but General Boykin, we have military personnel coming to us that are being forced and being punished to have to go through this whole so-called transgender training and everything. You know, how, from a military perspective, you know, how should we as civilians and as a nation pray and support our military that are dealing with these kind of issues right now?
Yeah, one thing is you should bombard the Congress. See, the Congress has not gotten involved in this issue. And when Vicki Hartzler brought an amendment that said we won't spend any DOD money for surgery or homotherapy, weak, kneed, literally livered Republicans bailed out on her.
Yeah, yeah. They did.
Because you're taking money from other areas, aren't they?
Well, of course. And if you spend $1 of defense funds, you cannot complain about not having enough money,
right?
Because this is absolutely a waste of money. So I think the fact that Trump made this decision and that he stood up to the Republican establishment that didn't want to deal with this, I think that he has put them on notice too.
Amen.
Yeah, I saw Mandy Campbell, the general counsel for Family Research Council, doing a very good job defending the issue of how much money would actually be diverted to these social issues and taken away from military readiness. It was absolutely astounding. Our guest has been Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin. He is with the Family Research Council, serving right there, of course, with the President, Tony Perkins, a great organization headquartered in Washington, D.C., that focuses on public policy. General Boykin and others, including Liberty Council, are part of a coalition to help protect and defend our military men and women to make sure that the military is ready. Thank you for joining us, General Boykin.
Thank you, Matt, and glad to be with you, folks.
You can go to Liberty Council's website, lc.org, that's lc.org, to get our free emails right there on the website. You can sign up or our newsletters. You can also learn more about Liberty Counsel and these issues regarding religious freedom, the sanctity of human life, marriage and the family, and many other topics, lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. Again, that phone number, 407-875-1776. Become an active partner of Liberty Counsel and make a difference in your community and across the nation. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. lc.org.